Okay, welcome everyone to the bidder webcast for the November 2021 auction under AEP Ohio's competitive bidding process. My name is Katie Orlandi, and presenting with me today is Rachel Northcutt and Matt Pettit. We're from NERA Economic Consulting, and we serve as the auction manager for AEP Ohio's CBP. So in today's presentation, we're going to provide an overview of the competitive bidding process, details on the qualification and auction process, and then we'll also cover information that's specific to this auction, including the product available, and we'll run through the calendar with deadlines. I'm going to start with a disclaimer that any statements herein describing or referring to documents and agreements are summaries only and are qualified in their entirety by reference to such governing documents. So the governing documents include orders from the Public Utilities Commission of Ohio, or the commission as I'll refer to them, in the cases provided in this first bullet on this slide. The first case ending in -SSO is related to AEP Ohio's Electric Security Plan, or ESP4. The second case ending in -UNC is related to modifications to the auction schedules for ESP4 due to delays in PJM's base residual auction. The final order listed here from June 16, 2021, approved the new auction schedule filed by AEP Ohio in April 2021. And I'll discuss that schedule further on an upcoming slide. So the other governing documents include the CBP rules, which are the bidding rules for the auctions, the Master Standard Service Offer, or SSO, supply agreement, the rules and protocols for participation by associated bidders, and the Part 1 and Part 2 applications. And all of these documents are currently available on the CBP website, which is aepohiocbp.com. So as I mentioned, NERA Economic Consulting served as the auction manager for the auctions under AEP Ohio's competitive bidding process. Our role is to be the main point of contact with bidders to ensure the CBP rules approved by the commission are followed and that bidder qualifications are evaluated equitably and fairly. We administer the auction, and then we'll submit a report on the results to the commission. The agenda for today's presentation is as follows. In the first part of the presentation, I'm going to provide an overview of AEP Ohio's electric security plan and the auctions generally. I'll then provide a description of the product design and contract. I'll pass the presentation to Matt for part three. And he'll continue with an overview of the CBP website and the application process details, including the requirements to qualify. And then Rachel will continue the presentation with information regarding bids and bidding in the auction. And then at the end of the presentation, we're happy to respond to any questions. So if you do have a question, please locate the Q&A on the right-hand side of your screen. You'll select all panelists in the ask box, type in your question, and click send. If you can, please include a relevant slide number with your question. And like I mentioned, we'll respond to all the questions at the end of the presentation. And then today or tomorrow, we're going to post this slide deck along with a recording to the CBP website. And we'll also post any questions and answers we receive on the call today. So in this part one, I'm going to provide an overview. I'm going to provide details on the product to be procured this November. I'll also cover the auction format and calendar of events. And then lastly, I'll move to an overview of the application process and the process to register for an account in order to submit an application to participate. So the upcoming auction will be held on November 2nd, 2021. This is the ninth auction of a series of 12 full requirements auctions under ESP4. In accordance with commission orders, in April 2021, AEP Ohio filed a proposed schedule for products beginning in June 2022 and beyond. This schedule accounts for modifications made to the product terms that extended into the 2022-23 delivery year from prior auctions, in order to account for the delays in PJM's base residual auctions. So PJM's delayed auctions have now been held or have been scheduled, and this new schedule is consistent with the timeframes of future BRAs established by PJM. So this schedule here was approved by the Commission on June 16, 2021. It's available on the slide, and it's also posted to the calendar section of the CDP website. So in this November 2021 auction, we're going to procure 50 tranches of a 12-month product with a delivery term beginning on June 1, 2022. In the prior auction held in March 2021, a 12-month product was available for a supply period beginning June 1, 2021. There were 15 registered bidders, and the range for the starting price or round one price was between $60 to $80 per megawatt hour. 33 tranches were procured in the auction at a clearing price of $46.35, and the commission accepted the results on March 10, 2021. So the tranches available are load following slice of system full requirements tranches. Each tranche represents a fixed percentage of the SSO of the load of SSO customers. SSO customers are customers who take retail generation service from AEP Ohio, excluding PIP customers. And PIP customers are customers on AEP Ohio's percentage of income payment plan. The delivery point is the P-node ID that's provided on this slide. And lastly, a note that SSO suppliers, or winners in this auction, will assume the responsibility as the load-serving entity in PJM, and that includes the responsibility for scheduling SSO supply and making arrangements for delivery of SSO supply. So as I mentioned on the last slide, the load of SSO customers is divided into a number of tranches. The tranche target, or the number of available tranches in this auction, is 50. Each tranche, again, represents 1% of the load of SSO customers. So that means that a supplier that serves a single tranche of the product available in this auction will provide all necessary services to meet the needs of 1% of the load of SSO customers for 12 months beginning on June 1, 2022. There's a load cap of 40 tranches in the auction, which is a limit on the number of tranches that a supplier can bid on and win in the auction. The format for the auctions held under AEP Ohio's ESP4 is a clock auction. In this November auction, there will be multiple tranches available for a single term. There are multiple rounds, and in each round, suppliers state how many tranches they want to supply at the going price announced by the auction manager. Then from one round to the next, the auction continues and the price will decrease or tick down if there's excess supply. An excess supply is when suppliers bid to supply more tranches than the number of tranches that are available. The auction will close when the number of tranches bid is equal to or less than the number of tranches that are being procured. There's no sealed bid round. Instead, bidders supply exit prices as they withdraw tranches throughout the auction. And notably, the auction establishes a single clearing price that will be applicable to all tranches and to all winning suppliers. So we provide on this slide an announcement of the minimum and maximum starting prices and a megawatt measure. The round one price announced by the auction manager for this November auction will be selected between $60 and $80 per megawatt hour. We also provide here the PLC in megawatts for SSO customers, excluding PIP customers. This PLC figure is based on the five highest coincident peaks experienced by PJM in the prior year. The PLC is 2,551 megawatts, provided here in the second table. And then below that figure, We also provide, for your reference and informational purposes only, the megawatt measure for a tranche. So please note that this figure is for reference and information purposes only, because the actual amount or the actual quantity to be delivered will depend on many factors, including migration of SSO customers. So suppliers are paid the auction clearing price for each megawatt hour of supply during the delivery term times the seasonal factor. And as you can see in the final bullet here, the seasonal factor is expected to be 1. So this next slide lays out the key events over the next 2 months. The application process is in 2 parts. First, applicants submit the Part 1 application with their qualification materials beginning on September 17th when the online form becomes available. The Part 1 application must be submitted by noon on the Part 1 date on September 29th. Applicants that become qualified bidders pursuant to a successful Part 1 application will be notified that they can submit a Part 2 application on the Part 1 notification date, which is October 5th. The following day, applicants can begin submitting their Part 2 application materials. That includes posting pre-bid security, and the Part 2 application is due October 19th. Bidders will then be notified whether they are registered bidders and eligible to participate in the auction on the Part 2 notification date on October 26th. On that date, registered bidders will also receive a bidder manual in order to prepare for participation in the auction. Then applicants have an opportunity to practice using the auction software and bid submission procedures in a trial auction, which will be held on October 27th. And that's 1 week prior to the auction on November 2nd. Over the next couple of months, we will make several announcements, and that includes providing an update to the seasonal factors and megawatt measure as necessary on October 6th. We'll also announce the round one price for registered bidders on October 28th. So the auction results on November 2nd are contingent on final commission approval. The auction manager will submit a confidential report on the auction results to the commission on the day after the auction closes, and the commission will issue a decision within 2 days of auction close. If the commission does not act within this window, the auction results are deemed accepted. The commission may publicly release the auction clearing price and the names of winning bidders from the auction. Then, within 3 days of commission's acceptance of the results, the master SSO supply agreement will be fully executed, and winning bidders will need to fulfill creditworthiness requirements under the contract. So, as I mentioned, the application process is in 2 parts, and both parts will be completed entirely online. So applicants will submit the Part 1 and Part 2 application materials through online forms. With the Part 1 application, these materials include providing required contact and company information for the bidder and supporting documents, including financial information. Applicants are also required to upload what we call inserts. And these inserts are provided by us in Microsoft Word format for you to complete. And that's going to provide additional information on which inserts are required and how to what signatures are acceptable in the next part of the presentation. The Part 2 application materials, they include providing an indicative offer, uploading inserts, and providing either a pre-bid letter of credit or cash in an amount that supports the indicative offer. And again, Matt's going to cover more details on each of these requirements in Part 3. Notably, no hard copies of any of the documents are required. So applicants that submit pre-bid security in the form of a pre-bid letter of credit must use the standard form posted to the CBP website or only include acceptable modifications to the standard form. And there's currently a preliminary list of acceptable modifications to the standard form posted to the CDP website as well. A pre-bid letter of credit must be submitted as an electronic PDF file and must be provided only to the auction manager at aep-cbp@nira.com. Hard copies of the pre-bid letter of credit will not be accepted. So both the Part 1 and Part 2 application require submission of inserts. These inserts are already posted to aepohiocbp.com on the documents subpage under the information section of the website. The inserts are posted in zip files labeled Part 1 inserts and Part 2 inserts. And please note that this is a change from prior auctions. The inserts are now available on the CBP website and not the application website. So if you're a new applicant and you have not yet registered for an account to access the online forms to submit your application, you should do that now or any time before the Part 1 window opens, but you can go ahead and request at this point. You'll register by going to aepohiocbp.com, clicking on the Register for an Application Account link on the left-hand side under Contact Us. Alternatively, you can send an email to aep-cbp@nira.com with the contact information requested in the bullets here. So the individual that registers for the account is going to receive an email with account activation instructions prior to the opening of the Part 1 window. Current account holders do not need to re-register through the website or by email. So a current account holder is a returning bidder that qualified to participate in an auction in 2019 or later, or an entity that registered for an account in 2019 or later. So if you fall into this bucket, even though you do not need to re-register, every account holder will have to activate their account in order to access the online forms. And this is a new process beginning with this November auction. So for a returning bidder that qualified to participate in an auction in 2019 or later, the representative is going to receive an email with an activation link prior to the opening of the Part 1 window. If you're an account holder as of 2019 but have not qualified, then the individual that registered for the account is going to receive this email with the activation link. And the auction manager is going to send instructions to access and complete the online forms to current and new account holders prior to the opening of the Part 1 window, and those instructions are going to include screenshots for how to activate your account. So the URL to access the online forms is https://aepohiocbp-application.com, and once your account is active, you'll be able to log in. If you don't use the URL directly, you can also access the application website through the CBP website by clicking on the link at the bottom of the navigation bar on the left. Yep, so that completes the overview section. Before I turn the presentation to Matt, I'm just going to cover two slides in Part 2 here with some detail on the product design and contract, including the credit requirements. So SSO suppliers, again, winners in the auction, will assume all responsibilities of a load-serving entity in PJM for the percentage of the load they serve and are responsible for providing full requirement service that includes energy capacity and ancillary services to SSO customers, which again excludes PIP customers. SSO suppliers bear all costs that are associated with this responsibility. Full requirement service and the LSC obligations of SSO suppliers are fully defined in the master SSO supply agreement. In particular, we point you to attachment F of the agreement for a sample PJM invoice. It includes billing line items and an indication of whether it's the responsibility of the SSO supplier or of AAP Ohio. And there are two distinct credit requirements, and corresponding to those requirements are two distinct unsecured credit lines that an SSO supplier or its guarantor can qualify for under the contract. So the first credit requirement is the independent credit requirement, or ICR, and that's an amount per tranche that declines throughout the term of the agreement. Corresponding to the ICR requirement is an unsecured credit line called the independent credit threshold that can be used to meet the ICR. So whether a supplier or guarantor qualifies for the independent credit threshold depends on criteria that's provided in the agreement. A creditworthiness evaluation is conducted in the Part 1 application process and can provide some information regarding how the supplier or its guarantor would be treated in regards to credit under the contract. The second credit requirement is the mark-to-market exposure. That exposure is based on the difference between the prevailing market prices and the market prices that were in effect on the date the auction was completed. To meet this second requirement, a supplier or guarantor can depend on a credit limit that can be granted to the supplier or guarantor based, again, on criteria that's provided in the agreement. Under the terms of the contract, a supplier can use a guarantee with a creditworthy guarantor. A supplier can also post a letter of credit, and notably, a form of guarantee and letter of credit are provided as attachments to the master agreement. A supplier can also post cash to meet the credit requirements. So that completes the couple of slides on provisions of the Master SSO Supply Agreement. I'm going to now turn the presentation over to Matt, and he's going to continue with part three.
Thank you, Katie. So in this section, I'll be providing an overview of the auction website. So the auction website can be found at aepohiocbp.com, and it is the central source of information related to the auction, where bidders can find posted announcements relating to the auction, a schedule with important dates for the current auction, auction documents, as well as data provided by AEP Ohio. Bidders can navigate the website by using the panel on the left-hand side of the screen, as shown here. And a link to the application website is available at the bottom of the navigation bar. So selecting the information tab will display the link to access the documents page along with the links to the announcements and FAQs pages. On the documents page, bidders can find the auction rules, the master SSO supply agreement, the pre-bid security documents, as well as the digital signatures guide, which we'll go into a little bit more detail in the next couple slides. And also on this page are the illustrative versions of the Part 1 and Part 2 forms. And lastly, this webcast will be posted to the documents page and will likely be made available by tomorrow. So selecting the Data Room tab will bring you to the page with data, which is made available by AEP Ohio, and that data includes hourly energy data, customer account data, PLC and NSPL data, and monthly switching statistics. And this data will be updated each month by the 20th of that month. To contact us, the auction manager, you can select the Contact Us page of the website, and here you can also register to receive announcements regarding the current auction and any future auctions. You can also register to receive login credentials to access the qualification forms to participate in the auction. And lastly, you can ask a question by selecting the Ask a Question link or by emailing us at aep-cbp@nira.com. And all questions do get submitted to the auction manager, and we aim to provide a response within 2 business days. All right, so in this next section, I'm gonna discuss the application process and review some of the information the bidders will need to provide with their Part 1 and Part 2 online forms. Firstly, as a reminder, the website to fill out the form is different from the AEP auction website. The form can be found at aepohiocvp-application.com. As part of the Part 1 form, the applicant will provide certain contact information, including information about the authorized representative, who will be the point of contact for correspondence between the auction manager and the applicant. The applicant will provide contact information for a legal representative, as well as designate any nominees to be included in the correspondence between the applicant and auction manager. New to this auction and going forward is that for returning bidders, the contact information fields will no longer be pre-populated and will need to be provided anew. Bidders will then be asked to provide information related to its status as a PJM member and indicate whether it is currently a market buyer, market seller, and whether it is qualified as a load-serving entity. With the Part 1 application, bidders are required to make a number of certifications agreeing to the auction rules and the terms of the Master SSO Supply Agreement and agreeing to keep certain auction-related information confidential. Bidders will also need to provide financial statements and credit ratings for the entity upon whose financial standing the bidder is relying. And note that additional information will be required for a bidder for a foreign bidder or a bidder relying on the financial standing of a foreign guarantor. And there's also a section in the Part 1 form where bidders may provide modifications to the pre-bid letter of credit. Bidders will be required to submit pre-bid security in the form of cash or pre-bid letter of credit with the Part 2 application. So these modifications would be your opportunity to propose changes to the standard form of this document. Again, the pre-bid letter of credit is required to be sent as an electronic PDF file by email to the auction manager at aep-cvp@nira.com rather than any hard copies. So please review the standard form of the pre-bid letter of credit to see if you would like to propose any modifications through the Part 1 window. AEP Ohio will then review any proposed modifications, and a response will be provided indicating which changes will be acceptable and which will not be. And right now, a preliminary list of acceptable modifications can be found on the documents page of the auction website. Additionally, as part of the Part 1 and Part 2 applications, bidders will be required to upload separate Microsoft Word files called inserts. And these inserts can be completed by either printing, signing, scanning, and uploading the insert to the online form, or by using a digital signature, which would have to be accompanied by additional documentation or information verifying the identity of the signatory. And important to note is that digital signatures may be used in lieu of a notarization. If you do choose to use a digital signature, additional documentation or information verifying the identity of the signatory could include a certification of completion from DocuSign, a final audit report from Adobe Sign, evidence that the digital signature has been certified using a document signing certificate, for example, through Adobe Acrobat, or some other documentation or information produced by another commercially available software, which we could use to verify the identity of the signatory. And a guide to providing digital signatures is available on the documents page of the CDT website. So this slide shows all of the Part 1 inserts and to whom they apply. Also included are the situations in which certain inserts are required and whether notarizations are needed to complete them. So, for example, the representative designation insert, the representative responsibilities insert, and the certifications insert are required by all bidders for each auction. On the other hand, the PJM requirements insert and bidding agreements insert are only necessary in specific situations, and these situations are outlined in the illustrative Part 1 form. Again, New to this auction and going forward is that most inserts will be required to be provided anew as part of completing the Part 1 application. An exception is that regarding the legal representative insert, returning bidders will be asked to confirm that the information that the auction manager has on file remains the most up-to-date. If the bidder does successfully complete the Part 1 application, they will receive a Part 1 notification from the auction manager and will then be invited to submit a Part 2 application. With the Part 2 application, bidders submit their indicative offer, which will need to be supported by their pre-bid security in the form of cash or the electronic pre-bid letter of credit, as well as making a number of additional certifications. And as well, foreign entities will need to provide a number of extra requirements to provide with the Part 2 application. So the indicative offer is the maximum number of tranches a bidder would be willing to bid at the minimum announced starting price and the maximum announced starting price. The indicative offer at the maximum starting price is the number on which the amount of pre-bid security the bidder must provide with its Part 2 application is based. And in turn, that number is then used to, used as the maximum number of tranches a bidder will be able to bid in the first round of the auction, which will be referred to as the bidder's initial eligibility. So there are additional rules that can limit the number of tranches a bidder can win in the auction. Specifically, a bidder may not win more than 80% of the tranches available in the auction. A bidder may also be limited by a credit-based tranche cap. This is determined by a credit worthiness assessment made by AEP Ohio, which is based on the financial information that the bidder provides as part of its Part 1 application. More specifically, this assessment is made using the credit ratings provided in the online Part 1 form in accordance with the table on this slide. And bidders can review the results of their credit worthiness assessment in their Part 1 notification. So some extra Part 2 requirements. Bidders will need to submit pre-bid security with the Part 2 application in the form of cash or a pre-bid letter of credit. The amount of pre-bid security will be equal to $500,000 per tranche of the indicative offer at the maximum starting price. And as a reminder, additional pre-bid security is not required in this November auction. Bidders must also make a number of certifications with their Part 2 application, certifying to comply with the associations and confidential information rules, and certifying to keep information related to the auction confidential. As a reminder, for the bidders electing to provide a pre-bid letter of credit as their pre-bid security, that letter of credit may only be submitted by the issuing bank to the auction manager as an electronic PDF file by email at aep-cbp@near.com. Hard copy versions of the pre-bid letter of credit will not be accepted. The standard form of the pre-bid letter of credit allows for its electronic transmission. Specifically, the beneficiary block lists the email address of the auction manager, and paragraph 14 contains language confirming AEP Ohio may use the electronic PDF as it would a hard copy original. Again, so please review the standard form of the pre-bid letter of credit ahead of the Part 1 deadline so that you may propose changes to the standard form if you so choose. So the last few requirements of the Part 2 application include bidders making additional certifications confirming any bids submitted in the auction are binding. And lastly, foreign bidders or bidders relying on the financial standing of a foreign entity must provide the executed versions of the draft documents they provided as part of the Part 1 application. I note that these executed versions must include any modifications that were required by AEP Ohio. Okay, and just like with the online Part 1 form, the online Part 2 form will require bidders to upload inserts. Bidders submitting cash as their pre-bid security will need to provide the cash certification insert, while all bidders must provide the Part 2 certifications insert. And again, Just as a reminder, these inserts can be printed, signed, scanned, and uploaded to the online Part 2 form or completed using a digital signature accompanied by additional documentation or information verifying the identity of the signatory and then uploaded to the online form. I will now pass the presentation along to Rachel.
Thanks, Matt. So I'll end today's presentation by providing an overview of the bidding process in the actual auction. Now, if a bidder satisfies all the requirements of the Part 2 application, that bidder will receive a Part 2 notification from the auction manager and then will be eligible to bid in the auction. And as we discussed earlier, the format of the auction is a descending clock auction with multiple rounds during which the price ticks down if there is excess supply. And in each round, bidders specify the number of tranches they're willing to supply at the announced price in that round. Bidders will submit their bids in the auction using an online auction software. Each round in the auction is made up of three phases: bidding, calculating, and reporting. Bidders state the number of tranches they're willing to supply at the going price for that round during the bidding phase. And once the bidding phase ends, the calculating phase begins, and the auction manager then tabulates the results of that round and calculates the next round's going price. After the calculating phase ends, the reporting phase begins, and at this time, bidders will be provided with the going price for the next round, and bidders will also be provided with the results of their own bid in that round. And note that bidders will have access to the results of their own bid, but will not have access to the results of another bidder's bid. And at the end of the reporting phase, the bidding phase for the next round begins, and the cycle continues until the auction ends. Now, if it's determined that there is insufficient supply to ensure competitive bidding, the auction manager can reduce the tranche target for the 12-month product. The specific criteria that could lead to this reduction will be determined ahead of time prior to the auction, but this information will be kept confidential and will not be provided to bidders. However, once the specific criteria have been met, the discretion to reduce the tranche target will be eliminated and the value of the target will hold through the end of the auction. The starting price, or the round one price, is provided to registered bidders ahead of the auction. And a bid in round one is the number of tranches a bidder is willing to supply at the round one price. In round one, a bidder cannot bid more tranches than its initial eligibility. And a reminder here that a bidder's initial eligibility is equal to its indicative offer at the maximum starting price that was provided in its online Part 2 form. In round one, a bidder can bid a number of tranches equal to its initial eligibility or a number of tranches less than its initial eligibility, but a bidder cannot increase the number of tranches it bids from round to round. So a bidder choosing to bid less than its initial eligibility in round one will only be able to bid that same amount or less in subsequent rounds. Now, after the bidding phase ends, the auction will enter the calculating phase, and the auction manager will then tabulate the results of that round and calculate the next round's going price. Then this information is made available to bidders in the reporting phase. This slide gives an example of the information provided to bidders in the reporting phase. Bidders will see the next round's price and a range of total excess supply. The actual value of excess supply, which is equal to the total number of tranches bid in the auction minus the tranche target, will fall within the given range. In the example here, the range reported to bidders is 51 to 55, which means that the actual value of excess supply can be equal to 51 or 55 or any value in between. And bidders, as I said, will have access to the results of their own bid, but they will not have access to the results of another bidder's bid. So information regarding a bidder's bid, identity, or eligibility will not be accessible to other bidders. Starting in round two, in response to a reduction in price, Bidders may either leave their bid the same as in the previous round, or bidders can withdraw tranches from the auction. And again, a bidder cannot bid more than its eligibility. In round one, this value is the bidder's initial eligibility. And in round two, a bidder's eligibility is equal to the number of tranches that the bidder bid in round one. But in round three and in subsequent rounds, a bidder's eligibility is equal to the eligibility from the prior round minus any tranches that the bidder withdrew from the auction. When a bidder withdraws tranches from the auction, the bidder will be prompted to provide what's called an exit price. This is a best and last offer for the tranches that are being withdrawn from the auction. And an exit price must be greater than the current round's going price, but below or equal to the previous round's price. So in the example here, a bidder is withdrawing one tranche from the auction. So where it was bidding on six tranches, it's now bidding on five. And the bidder submits an exit price of $59.22 per megawatt hour, which is above the going price of 58, but below the previous round's price of 60. Now, if the auction continues on to round three, the bidder's eligibility will be five tranches. Now, the auction will continue as long as there is excess supply. The auction will end when the total number of tranches bid is either just equal to the tranche target, or if the total number of tranches bid is less than the tranche target. The final price, or the auction clearing price, is determined in one of two ways. If the number of tranches bid is exactly equal to the number of tranches available, then the auction clearing price is equal to the going price in that final round. Now, if the total number of tranches bid is less than the total number of tranches available, the auction clearing price is equal to the lowest exit price at which the tranche target is filled. So this slide provides an example of how the auction clearing price is determined in the case where the total number of tranches bid in a round falls below the tranche target. Here you'll see in the number bid column that the total number of tranches bid across all bidders fell from 52 to 47. So the auction will close. We're under the tranche target of 50. To fill the target of 50 tranches, we'll first take the 47 tranches bid at the round 12 going price, but we're still short three tranches. So we'll need to retain some of the withdrawn tranches, and the exit price submitted by the bidders will be used to set the auction clearing price. To decide which of the tranches will be retained, we'll consider the exit prices from lowest to highest. We need to retain three tranches total to fill the target. So we'll first select the two tranches with the lowest exit price of $38.69 from bidder A. But we're still short one tranche. So we'll then select the tranche with the next lowest exit price, which is the single tranche withdrawn by bidder B with an exit price of $38.99. And we've now filled the tranche target of 50 tranches, and the auction clearing price will be equal to bidder B's exit price of $38.99. We will not retain any of the withdrawn tranches from bidder C. And all bidders who are holding tranches will receive the same clearing price of $38.99. Before wrapping up today's presentation, I'll provide a few more reminders about the auction. So first, bidders will have an opportunity to practice submitting their bids using the auction software in a trial auction that's scheduled for October 27th. Also, during the auction, if you're experiencing any technical difficulties, the backup procedure for submitting your bids is to do so by phone. So technical assistance will be available to take your bid over the phone and submit it into the software on your behalf. Now, the last bid submitted and verified in the bidding phase and processed by the auction software is the bid that counts. So a backup bid processed over the phone will only count if it's entered and verified by the technical assistant in the bidding phase and processed by the auction software. So it's the bidder's responsibility to provide a complete bid consistent with the CBP rules and to get the bid in on time. And for purposes of using the online software, please be sure that you're using any of the supported web browsers listed here and that you have a stable internet connection. Now, if you need to reach us, please contact us by email at aep-cbp@nira.com. And as a reminder, if you do intend to submit a pre-bid letter of credit as your pre-bid security, it must be sent electronically to the same email address. And this concludes the presentation portion of this webcast. Now, if you have any questions, please locate the Q&A function on the right-hand side of your screen and be sure to select all panelists in the Send To box. Then type in your question and click Send to submit your question to the presenters.